We turn now to the word of the Lord from the Gospel according to Matthew. Our reading this morning comes from chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. Hear now the word of the Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. And they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A seed is a miracle waiting to happen. That is how the ancient world understood these tiny dry pods. Without the modern knowledge of plant biology, it was a mystery how the dry, dead-seeming seeds could come to life. How something so small could produce something so large and fruitful. They understood it was the divine life of God which made seeds germinate and grow. For it is God who gives life to all of creation. Scripture even says that we can plant and water, but it is God who gives the growth. So you can understand why Jesus was so enthralled with seeds and plants and used them so often in his teaching as images and metaphors and parables. You see, they start with the world with which we are familiar, the physical world around us. And they lead us into the spiritual world, the world where God is the main actor. In these parables, we aren't stepping out of one world into another, but rather we are starting with a surface overview of our world. And then putting on a kind of spiritual x-ray glasses through which we can see the divine threads woven throughout. When we begin reading today's parable of the sower, the temptation, and in fact the images it first paints on the mind's eye are all above ground, on the surface. Right? If we picture this, we always picture of what's coming up from the ground. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path. The path is hard packed. The seed just rests on the top. And some fell on the rocky ground, and they sprang up quickly, We picture those little delicate one-inch shoots that shoot up overnight when seeds start to germinate. And if you're a gardener, it gives you so much joy because you plant the seeds and you water and you wait and you wait and you wait. And then all of a sudden, one day, there they are, all the little shoots. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew. Which way? They grew up, and they choked the seeds. Weeds. Ugly plants that grow faster than everything around them. And other seeds fell on good soil, and they produced a bountiful harvest, harvest that we pick and weigh and sell and eat. None of this is a mystery. We see everything that happens above the surface. There is nothing there that drives us to deeper thinking. We take everything as it appears. But divine wisdom is not found where our attention is usually drawn. Divine wisdom is not found in some surface concern, but below, in our foundation, in our roots. When we hear Jesus talking about seeds and shoots and weeds and produce, we immediately think about what comes up out of the ground, but Jesus thinks about what tunnels down, about the roots. It is here where we step from the world our eyes observe to the world where spiritual mysteries lie. Roots represent the heart and the soul of our lives. They are what nourish and sustain us. The parable of the sower tells us about what kind of roots we need to thrive. The first seed got gobbled up by a bird. As footloose and fancy free as a person wishes to be, we each need some kind of anchor. Some people are anchored by place. They have, as we say, put down roots, perhaps even lived their whole lives in the same community, where they know all their neighbors. Other people, they pick up and move frequently. They don't have roots in a place, but perhaps they are deeply rooted in family and friends, and they always stay in touch no matter where they go. Others may not have such family roots or friend roots, but root themselves in a meaningful cause or a hobby. But there are a growing number of unrooted and uprooted people in our society, vulnerable to hardship, easily taken advantage of. They've been sown on hard ground. And unlike the seed sown on the tilled soil, they are thwarted in putting down roots that anchor a person in life. They get eaten up by the world they're living in. It is a hard truth. The second seed sprouted quickly as the rocky ground had thin soil that was initially warm and welcoming. But when it tried to grow roots, it quickly ran out of room and hit rock. The sun quickly dried out the shallow soil and the plant dried up. Now it's easy to talk about shallow people. For our society worships what we own more so than what's in our heart and soul. Our education consists too often in mindless entertainment and bite-sized sound bites. We live according to fads, and faced with mature responsibilities and moral conundrums, the shallow-rooted wither under the heat of real life. Where others dig deep into their values and beliefs in trying times, the shallow have nothing of substance to support them. Well, the third seed, it started growing well, it started stretching up and down, but it found itself quickly growing tired and weary. It was growing hungry and thirsty, started to fade away. The weeds around it aggressively drain the moisture and the nutrients from the soil, hogging them all. And it grew tall, the weeds grew tall, eventually also blocking the sun. And the seed, it kept trying to plod along. But it was starved of every last resource, and it too died. It had roots, but it did not have a supportive environment. The roots were crying out for food and water, but were surrounded by bullies, taking what little it had away from it. See, having roots alone is not enough. Yearning for the substance of life and the substance of soul in a world that steals it from you makes survival impossible. And then there was the fourth seed. And it fell on good soil. It had the ideal conditions to grow deep roots and for the roots to receive deep nourishment. Of course, it grew and became fruitful, produced a bounty. This is a parable. So there is not just one interpretation. I have not given the traditional interpretation, which always directs us to ask what kind of soil we are and how we receive the seed planted in us, the wisdom of God, the word of God. I have invited us to think instead of how we ourselves are the seeds, to think about what kind of roots we tend to grow. I've also asked us to think about the circumstances we are planted in. Reading this parable today, I can't help but see the privilege the fourth seed had in growing up in the perfect conditions, well nurtured and supported, and how the other seeds were judged by what they produced above ground, but no one takes into account the struggles hidden below. I believe Christ, in telling this parable, takes into account the struggles of his people to grow roots and to sustain them. What Christ offers us, no matter with which seed we may identify, is the opportunity to root ourselves in the divine life, especially when our life circumstances are difficult. People are sown into many different living conditions across our planet. Society in some communities is a fertile soil, but choked with bully weeds in others. But in every place, God has an intention for God's people. The sower sowed the seeds in a manner completely inexplicable to a farmer. What are you doing? You don't just scatter seeds everywhere. But the sower did so within God's wisdom. The sower sowed seeds in every place with hope and perhaps with the intent to make a miracle happen. We see flowers growing from cracks in the concrete. We see trees that hang on to cliff faces. We see vegetables being produced in abandoned lots. Somehow, even in inhospitable places, they are able to grow strong roots. And perhaps that's the best image for the power of God in our lives. When we live in faith, we can thrive in less than ideal circumstances. When we root ourselves in our Creator, we are nourished by God's love and our souls are tended by God's grace. And we grow in God's wisdom. And what God can do with this seed is not limited to what we might judge possible. If the fourth seed is an example of an already fruitful life, there are three examples of lives Christ has identified as in need of God's intervention, but not outside of God's care. They are miracles waiting to happen. It's easy enough to believe that Christ can make a difference in those lives and those circumstances. But the more pressing question is whether those struggling to root their lives will choose to root them in Christ. Will we acknowledge we need roots in God's love? All of us, in every circumstance. Will we acknowledge that we need roots in God's wisdom, in God's grace, in God's very presence, in order to thrive? Will we acknowledge that we are in fact created to put down roots with our Creator? And will we, as the church, be good and welcome soil for all, from all circumstances, seeking something of spiritual substance to ground them in this life? It is my hope and my desire that we are and we will. One of my home decorating quirks is that I plant all of my house plants in clear glass vases because the leaves may be flashy, but the roots tell you the true story. I brought a plant here from my home. You can see all of the roots as well as all of the leaves. The roots tell you the true story. And I love to see them grow too. And they remind me to tend to my roots, tend to my spiritual roots, as well as my family roots and my friend roots and my community roots and everything else that helps form that foundation. So the question is, how will you tend to yours? How will you tend to your roots? In what are you spiritually rooted? How can God help you grow? Friends, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we say amen.